excited for him. There's a flare to right center. Riley Green got to go. Jump! Did he pull that in? He did! Superman dive, and Riley Green makes one of the best players of the season.
You got to take the chance once.
How about that from Riley Green? And the man who had that call of that Superman catch out there in center field joins us now on the Meyer guest line. A good buddy, Matt Shepard, play-by-play voice of the Detroit Tigers on Bally Sports Detroit. Shep, my friend, how are you? How's life? How are things? Most importantly, how's the golf game?
AB, it can always be better. Had a really good time in San Francisco playing a little golf and on the off day, and did the same thing in Phoenix. So it's great to be out with friends and I would consider family of our television broadcast team. And these are the things you get a chance to do every once in a while on the off day. And we had a blast doing it, man. It was a lot of great scenery and a lot of good golf out here. So we're enjoying it, buddy.
You know, it's got to be tough, though, because it's not like you get a whole lot of time to practice. So you're really just, you load up the clubs, you get out, you know, you get them out of the car, and then all of a sudden you're on the first tee, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, maybe I haven't done this in a little while. Like, all right, you got to shake off some rust, and it's really tough to improve on those scores when you're playing and not practicing.
You got that right. Hey, man, it's really the first to play a couple of rounds since Lakeland because of how busy the schedule's been. Listen. I'm not complaining about it, bro. This is the way it works sometimes. It just happened to work out well for me on this trip. Don't get a chance to do it very often, but when there is an opening, why might as well take advantage of it, right?
Oh, 100%. And kind of a strange week in the old Tiger schedule. Now, we haven't been able to connect. I don't know who's in charge of the scheduling over there. I got to get somebody on the phone because it seems like, you know, every Monday you guys are on the road and, you know, away from town. I'm like, I can't call Shep first thing in the morning. I can't call him the night before. It just, you're on a plane or it's too early in the morning. But this is a week where you have an off day on Monday. We'll play Tuesday, Wednesday against San Francisco, off day Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday against Kansas City. Kind of a nice little reprieve for the guys.
Yeah, and well-deserved for them, considering they went from Boston to Phoenix to San Francisco and then back home. And as we've talked about before, you get during that All-Star break, you get not much of a break at all, considering you've got a doubleheader on Thursday after the All-Star game. That's very unique because of the lockout. It was forced onto the schedule, and it's going to be one of those very strange, but you wonder how a team handles something like that, knowing you got that double dip out in Oakland real quick, and then you turn around and come right back home.
You know, Shep, it's been since the last time we spoke, boy, a lot has happened, my friend, and there has been, some animosity within the fan base and those who listen to the program. And as we go game by game, you know, the morning after, kind of recapping what took place the night before and previewing the night ahead, I can't but help. And some people want to blame the manager now. Some people want to blame the general manager. Some people want to blame me like it's my fault because I had a lot of high hopes and I did the same thing. And I cursed the Pistons going into the 21-22 season. So maybe it is on me. But I look at this season as one that to this point has just been lost to injury. I mean, this team is battling as hard as they can. Their pitching staff, I mean, it's a rotating cast of characters. It's definitely not who we projected to be the starting rotation throughout the course of the season. Injuries not only to the staff, but also to the field as well. I mean, really, this isn't the group that Al Avila had in mind or really the group that Tigers fans had in mind.
Well, no, but on the other hand, that pitching, quite honestly, was the strength of this team early on. I think it's too easy to blame injuries. I think everybody would admit. I mean, you need your A players to play a little bit more consistently and better. That's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to work. I mean, when you show up at the ballpark and you pencil in the same guys. Look at what Boston does, okay? It's Bogarts, it's Devers, it's Verdugo, it's J.D. Martinez, it's Christian Vasquez, it's Trevor Story. Every single day. New York is the same way. It's Judge, it's Stanton, it's LeMahieu, it's Torres. It's the same guys every single day. Houston, same thing we can go down their lineup too. For the Tigers, those everyday guys are Scope and Cabrera and Baez and Candelario and Grossman. And, you know, obviously now it's Torkelson and Green as well. But you sure weren't expecting to ask those guys to do and carry a baseball team because it's just not fair and it just does not happen. Chicago didn't do it with Andrew Vaughn. Boston doesn't do it with Jared Dunn. And then they don't do it with, you know, a guy like Jeter Downs who was up and then back down. Seattle doesn't do it with Kelnick. You just don't ask for that. So I think it's the everyday guys who've got to hit better. AB, look, the numbers don't lie. Okay, I mean when you're ranked 28th in baseball and batting average, and you can go on base percentage and dive into even different numbers, and you're last in home runs and things of that nature, and last in runs scored or close to it, you've got to be better. And I think that's been, you know, the hard part for Tigers fans and quite honestly the Tigers to swallow. You're absolutely right. It's not the production that anybody was expecting. It doesn't mean that they can't turn it around. But you worry that how much longer this goes before any changes can be made. Now, there's a lot of people who expect changes right away. And they're demanding change for the sake of change sake. There is only so much you can do, I think, in baseball with a 26-man roster, a 40-man roster that is saved, a 26-man roster at the major league level. Because you have everyday guys who have to perform. You could take them out once in a while. You're replacing them with guys who are usually spot players. And there's a reason that they're spot players. Mike Babcock said this to me a long time ago. I remember when he had a second-line defenseman, Brad Stewart, who was really good. And I said, you know, why don't you just put him on the top line? He said, because he's really good as a second-line defenseman. And that's where he's thriving. Why do I want to take him out of there when I know what that might expose him? That's kind of how it works in baseball, too. So I think the everyday guys have to elevate their play a little bit, AB, and I think that's when things would start to turn for this team.
One of those guys, Shep, has been Javier Baez, who, you know, it's, you know, people, I mean, my goodness, it started out strong and then it kind of dipped a little bit. And I don't know what has changed. There was reports that there was a conversation that he and Miguel Cabrera had, and he's kind of, you know, turned things around and been able to be a lot more productive. You know, you look dating back to the 20th in that game in which he was, what, 2-for-4 against Boston, then 3-for-5 against Boston, then 2-for-3, 1-for-4, 2-for-4. Like, you know, last couple weeks, he really seems
he's
like
been really good.
Yeah, he's yeah. Finding it again.
Yeah, he's been really good. He's been hit with power. Look, if people have followed baseball or followed specifically Javier Baez, that they would understand that there are a couple things going on. First and foremost, when you make the change from the National League to the American League, there is a big adjustment, all right, for players. It happened with Trevor Story, for example. Trevor Story came from the National League to the American League, and his April was awful. But his May and June have been incredible for Boston. It's a big reason why Boston has won the second most games in all of baseball since May 10th. Only the Yankees have won more. Trevor Story is the primary reason for it. He leads the team in RBIs. He's among the team leaders in home runs. He has caught fire. Javier Baez leads the Tigers in home runs. He leads the Tigers in RBIs. And it's not the same numbers just yet as some of the guys around baseball, but he's gotten a lot better. Now, I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, okay, so he's starting to hit the ball a little bit better, but what about his defense? His defense is very good. I still think he's an elite defensive player. He does have some throwing errors. He's made 10 errors on the year. 6 of them are throwing errors, AB. And he has a tendency for the ball to sail a little bit. You could argue that there'd be even more errors if it weren't for Spencer Torkelson's glove at first base. But I don't, at least for issues that the Tigers are having right now, I don't think Javier Baez is at the center.
Yeah, and I feel like Javi, you know, sometimes that ball sails. You wonder if that's just the fact that he plays with so much juice. You know, it always feels like no matter which way he's going, if he's moving towards second or moving towards third, there's always so much intention there. And I know as a major league player, it should be a routine play, but every once in a while you get a little excitement going. It might go a little high on you once in a while. And I'm okay with that from what he brings. You mentioned Torque and that glove there at first base. Sure, he's had his fair share of struggles, as we would expect a youngster to in his first major league season. But has he surprised you with how well he has played at first base defensively?
A little bit. I see how hard he works every single day, how early he gets to the ballpark. He has been very consistent at first base. He's been very good. What I like most about Spencer Torkelson, to be honest with you, is he comes to the ballpark with the same attitude. Whether he's playing well defensively and or offensively or poorly, he comes with a great attitude and a freshness that I think is needed. I think he and Roddy Green help one another. I think they help push one another. Anybody, I don't care what level of play. I don't care if it's football and you're a first-round pick. I don't care if it's basketball, hockey, or baseball. Young players, it's going to take them some time to try and gain that consistency and adjust. It just does. It's the highest level of competition in sports, and you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs. How you handle the latter really tells you about the type of person that you are and the type of pro you can be, and I think Spencer Torkelson handled it very, very well.
Tigers have, as you mentioned, hit for power a little bit earlier. They're starting to put together some games in which they're scoring some runs, because manufacturing offense was really something that a lot of Tigers fans kind of scratched their head at, and it's like, well, where is the offense? You can win games 4-0 or 3-2, but at the end of the day, it would be really nice to see this team be able to put some runs on the board. They have that big blowout win over the Rangers, 14-7. They score 7 the next day. You start to feel pretty good about them being able to score more and manufacture a little bit more offense, and a lot of that comes in today's game with being able to hit the ball over the fence, and they're starting to get a little bit more of that too.
Well, and why is that though? Look who's starting to hit the ball a little bit more. Robbie Grossman's hitting the ball a little bit more. You and I just talked about Javier Baez is hitting the ball a little bit more. Jamer Candelario comes back in his first game, had a couple of hits, right? Jonathan Scope not too long ago went yard and the double. I mean, even though AJ Hinch has moved him down in the lineup, I mean, that's what it's going to require. You've got to score runs. I mean, everybody knows that, right? I mean, the pitching has been ahead of the offense for the most part this season in baseball, but everybody knows you have to score runs, and the Tigers look at their record when they score 5 more. Now, that's probably not unique to just the Tiger situation, but you got to do it. The other thing that people would also caution you with is, who are they doing it against? You just did it against the Arizona Diamondbacks, who aren't all that great. Now, but to your credit and to your point, I mean, they were right there with Boston when they were in at Fenway Park, even though they didn't win a game, unfortunately. They got blown out by one game in New York, the Yankees and Gerrit Cole, but they were right there for the other two. So, I mean, just because you're close doesn't mean that it's a good night, and it doesn't mean that there's success there. But I think they're starting to find it a little bit. We'll see how they do against Carlos Rodon for sure, because he has a tendency to shove, and he's got one of the best. He's got some of the best stuff in the National League pitching from the left side against Detroit in Game 1.
Shep, a non-Tigers related question, because you brought up the Yankees and the Dodgers in the National League, they have a run differential of +132. I mean, that's insanity, right? And then you look at the Yankees and it's +144 in the AL, and this team is just, they're going nuts. No one's catching them, are they? Not in the American League.
I don't think so, but we're wrapped up in Judge, and for good reason, because he's the odds-on favorite to be the MVP. And we just rattled off some of the names, but it's their pitching that has really, really impressed me. When you have some consistent starting pitching and they're going deeper, and then you've got that bullpen, it's been huge for them. I mean, let's not sleep on Houston, though. Houston's a team that, just because they don't have the big names pitching, like Gerrit Cole, for example, outside of Justin Verlander, maybe not a whole lot of people know some of the other starters that Houston has. But their bullpen, I think, is better than New York's, and their lineup is as dangerous, if not more, than the Yankees. So I sure wouldn't sleep on the Astros.
Last one here for you, completely unrelated to baseball, but you did make a reference to it earlier, so we'll circle back here. You said the name Mike Babcock, which leads me to the Detroit Red Wings, which leads me to the E60 Unrivaled documentary. Have you had a chance to watch that Red Wings and Avalanche, ESPN's presentation of the rivalry?
I have not. Because I want to sit and watch it in its entirety. I walked to the dugout in Arizona, and it was on one of the monitors, and I stopped for just a brief moment, and then I had to keep walking because I didn't want to see it in bits and pieces. when I was walking on my way to the clubhouse. It was on in the background of the weight room where the Tigers, where some of the Tigers were working out. And Alex Lang came up to me and says, "Hey, your team out there is beating some serious blank." And I said, "Oh yeah, that was back in the, when the rivalry was the rivalry." I said, "That team had the perfect mix of bad dudes, good guys, and great talent. Maybe the best in Detroit sports history from those teams back with the Red Wings." So I have not seen it yet, but I can't wait to sit down and take it all in uninterrupted.
Well, I'll tell you what, when that happens, we definitely got to talk that week, because I cannot wait to get your thoughts and to, because it's propelling me back in time, right? It's taking me back to my childhood when I remember getting the newspaper and seeing, like, you know, the Stanley Cup Finals and that printout there and what that looked like from the Detroit Free Press. I can vividly remember that. So to be able to talk to somebody and place them in that moment with what your job was, I can't. You are going to, I think you're going to love this. The presentation, the cinematography. Oh, wait till you see it, Shep. You're going to love it, I swear. He is Matt Shepard.
Long overdue, man. Long overdue. Everybody talks about rivalries, the Pistons and the Celtics back in the day, and for good reason, Celtics and the Lakers. But nobody should sleep on that rivalry of Red Wings and Habs for that period of time, because it was as good as sports had ever seen, I think.
It's simply incredible. Matt Shepard, as always, my friend, thank you so much for the time. We greatly appreciate it.
All right, pal. Good to visit. Talk to you soon.